Get to the Rashog Report. Hopefully he's not ironing clothes right now. Rashog Report brought to you by the Golf Den with three full-size projection screens, 150-degree display. It's the only one of its kind in Western Canada. Creates the most immersive play experience possible. That's golfden.ca. Shogger, what's happening?
Not much, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. First question, if you get to play GM, you're Craig McTavish.
Yeah.
What do you do with your goaltending situation?
What do I do with my goaltending situation? Well, I mean, I think you continue to play Victor Foss right now for as long as you can and keep trying to get him rolling and then see if somebody wants to trade for him. And if you can get something for him, then move him. Scrivens, you have because you've got under contract next year. So you look at Ben as possibly an option next year to be the backup, and then you scour the league and try and find a new starter for next year. So trade Foss if you can. Hang on to Scrivens because you'll probably have to, and look for a starter.
Would you
that makes sense?
Would you revisit, like, Victor Foss right now? Do you think who's better in your eyes, Foss or Scrivens, regardless of contract?
Well, I think Foss is playing better right now than Scrivens is playing. But there was quite a while where Foss wasn't playing great back when it really, really mattered. Neither goaltender played great. So I think that going with either of these goaltenders to start the year next year as your main guy is probably not a smart idea. I think they've learned that lesson with Devan Dubnyk, that they saw Dubnyk play good hockey when it didn't really matter a whole lot. And when all the pressure was on to be the guy, he had trouble doing it. And so I think that
he was the guy in 2013, man, and had a .920 save percentage when he was their starter.
Yeah, but that was he started the year as the guy, right? You're talking about last year.
Well, even really in 2013, he was their guy. Who else was their guy? He played the majority of the games.
But I guess what I'm saying is, it's time for the Oilers to go find a starting goalie. Enough with these guys that maybe they can be. They need to find a starting goalie. So wherever that is, however they manage to do that, I think it probably has to be pretty darn close to priority number one. And I think that's what they're going to do. They're going to try and find a starter. So I think Foss is playing reasonably well right now, and I would say that he's earning a little bit of respect back around the league. And if they can turn that into a draft pick or move them, then move them. There's no reason to hang on to them. If there's a deal that possibly comes along, I would say you just trade them. And then they'll probably have to start the year with Scrivens next year. But I think they need to go out and find someone that can be their starting goalie. I wouldn't start with either of these guys as their starter for next year. Would you?
Oh, no, of course not. But when I'm saying scouring the league, the free agent market after Antti Niemi, there's no one who's more proven than the guys they have, none. So Antti Niemi is the only free agent. And I don't see teams that are willing to trade proven NHL starters.
Yeah, no, that doesn't happen. That doesn't happen very often. So, I mean, whether it's an absolutely proven guy or it's somebody who is maybe ready to take that step or ready to make that move, I don't know where exactly it is, and if it were easy, anyone would be able to do it. It's not supposed to be easy, but it's been an issue for too long with this franchise, and they need to find an answer. But I think this year has shown that probably neither of these guys is the answer to get started with. So, whether it's Niemi in free agency or whether they can pry somebody else loose via a trade, I'm not sure. But and I haven't scoured the league looking for the right guy. You know, you're kind of asking me a little bit on the spot here, but my instinct is to say it's going to be neither one of these guys. So move Foss if you can, and then see what you can get done in the off season.
Yeah, well, I've went over it many times. Like, the only free agents of note, if you think Enroth is a guy, then he's a possibility in Buffalo. But they're a pretty bad team in Buffalo, so maybe it's hard to tell how good he is. You've got Niemi, who's clearly the most proven, and other than that, you got Ray Emery's, I think, past is his best due date. I think he would be no different than Victor Foss and Ben Scrivens this point in his career. Devan Dubnyk, probably right now, the way he's playing, would go into the offseason as this, him and, as probably the number two free agent goaltender, with Kerry Romo maybe being number three.
Yeah. Well, I think that ship has probably sailed a long time ago. So, No, I don't know. I mean, who knows what comes available at, you know, on the trade market. I mean, they kind of got to wait and see a little bit too. Like sometimes at the draft, you know, they had a good chance to get a starter. It was a unique situation with Schneider and Luongo in Vancouver.
Yeah, like I just don't see a situation like that right now.
Yeah, who knows? And how long is LA going to be able to hang on to their guy?
Jones?
It's Jones that's playing behind Quick, right?
Yeah, Jones is he's an RFA at the end of this season.
Yeah. And you wonder about, I mean, they've had some quality goalies come through there as a backup to Jonathan Quick. I mean, he's their franchise guy and he signed. So as much as you want a good backup, you're not going to be able to hold these kids back forever when they come up and they play well behind them. So who knows? Maybe there's something to maybe you can pry that guy out of
Okay,
there.
So here's my question to you. Is Martin Jones, so you'd be willing to start the season with Jones as your starter ahead of Foss or Scrivens?
Well, I don't know. I'm just saying they need to find guys who maybe are ready to take that step, or maybe if you look at him and say, well, if he wasn't behind Jonathan Quick, maybe things would be a little bit different. I mean, it's like he's got pretty good career numbers, right? I mean, he doesn't play a ton there because Jonathan Quick plays so much.
I know, and Ben. Well,
remember Scrivens, Jones, and Quick that were all there together, right?
And Jones has a .908 save percentage this season.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Like last year he had a .934 in 19 games, right?
Yep.
Which is, hey, it's good. But this year in 11 games, he has .908. And he's also playing behind the LA Kings defense and forwards. Ben Scrivens had a .930-something save percentage in LA.
Yeah.
Right? That's why Jones to me is, I know a lot of people are high on him. I don't mind Martin Jones, but to me, Martin Jones is just as much of a wild card as what they have now.
Yeah, and he might be, but I think that those are the types of guys you got to go out there and try and find is guys who, I mean, short of a starter falling into their lap, which they still didn't do when they had a starter fall into their lap in Schneider, they're going to need to try and find that guy somewhere. And that's where you rely on your scouts and your goaltending coach and your people to say, look, who's the best guy that's not currently starting right now? Like, who's the best guy out there who isn't starting, or the best prospect, or the best American League guy, or whatever the case is? But you have to scour around and find those guys. They haven't done a good enough job of it. The guys they've tried for the last season and a bit here haven't worked out very well. Early on in the season, when they needed them to be good, they weren't. And that's when you have to judge these guys by. You have to judge them by early in the year when it meant as much as it did. And so that tells me that I'd be careful with either of these guys. So how have some of these other guys played? But it's job number one, and it's not easy. It's not. It's supposed to be tough, and they didn't fix it before, and now they're in a jam because there isn't an obvious answer.
That's the concern for the Oilers, is that to me, after Niemi, it's all wild cards, free agency or via trade. And you know, the way Victor Foss is playing right now, he could be just as good as anybody else you get. That's the thing, because behind this defense, I think it's really, really hard to get a real solid analysis of your goaltender.
So, okay, so with that in mind, so what? You give Victor Foss a 2-year deal and you've got Scrivens playing, so it's Foss and Scrivens again to start the year next year?
No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying right now, they won't do it, Ryan, because of optics and being there, done that. But I'm saying right now there is no easy, even tangible one that looks to say it's guaranteed to be better.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. Like, I don't – the Edmonton Oilers are in a situation right now where when you look at it – now, because if you're going to trade – I know people say, well, Ben Bishop, there's got to be another Ben Bishop out there. No, there doesn't have to be. You would love it if there was, but let's look at the backup goaltenders. Like, Tokarski, people keep bringing him up in Montreal. He's a wild card, and for every Ben Bishop, there's a lot of other guys who go places and don't succeed, right? So that's where I'm saying the Oilers, sadly, unless it's Niemi, and you know what, proven player, sure, probably got to grossly overpay him to get him here. The rest for goaltenders that I see are all going to be wild cards.
Yeah, and that's the problem, and it's too important a position on your team to not be as certain as you possibly can, right? To not be, to not shore it up and be certain. So, I mean, look, if I said to you right now, look, you can either have Corey Schneider in the organization or Darnell Nurse, which would you pick right now, given where this team is and what they need? Well, do they need Darnell Nurse? Yeah, of course they do. He's going to be a good player in a few years.
But didn't you need more in that trade?
No, I'm.
So you were told it was straight up seven for Schneider? Okay.
When it came down to it, that's what it was. When it came right down to the wire. There was some talk and some lead up to it, and the price was higher. And when it came down to it, because, I mean, if you look what they got for him, what'd they get for him? The nine.
Yeah.
So it makes sense that at the 11th hour, the seven would have got it done. That's two picks better. And, you know, I can't see even Mike Gillis as much as he was like that sometimes, even he had to know that the seventh would have been better, even if you're sending Schneider to Edmonton.
Yeah, in theory, right? Although he might look and say, is two spots in the draft, like, is there a guy they had rated that much higher that it was worth giving Schneider to a rival? That would be the other argument.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But I mean, my information is it was the seven for Schneider, and Maxey wasn't willing to do it in that moment. He was too high on Darnell Nurse and just couldn't make that switch. So, but that's the most important position in your organization. And now they're still struggling to find the answer, heading into an offseason where there's no clear answer, looking into their own organization where there's no clear answer. They don't have anything coming that is close to being a clear answer. So it's just, it's a bunch of mud, and they gotta see their way through it, because until they shore up their goaltending and their defense, it's going to be hard to judge anybody, and it needs to be better than it's been for the last few years. So it's a great challenge for Craig McTavish, and so far it's been the great failing.
A lot of people are texting about Robert Lehner. I'll just say this about Lehner: in Ottawa, he has a .903 save percentage. Right,
yeah.
They're not going to give him the reins and trade Craig Anderson in Ottawa.
Yeah. Robin Lehner, you mean? Yeah.
That's not happening.
Yeah, I don't know that's a given for sure. So, you know, that's the thing, is there's not a clear cut answer. So if you're Matt T, it's tough this year, because there's no obvious answer, unless they want to throw a whole bunch of money at Antti Niemi, and if they think he's the answer or he stabilizes them, then, you know, fine. But the other guy I think that they probably could have taken a hard run at but chose not to was Jonas Hiller. And I'm not sure why they weren't more aggressive in trying to make that work, but that was another one where they could have taken a run at a guy to try and improve themselves in the position.
Quickly, Sugar, David Perron in town tonight playing with Crosby. And, you know, Perron and I had a conversation. You know, there would be some rumblings that he had asked for a trade. He vowed he never asked for a trade. But he did say, you know what, hey, I asked for more ice time, and, you know, had admitted that, hey, he understood the scenario with the young guys. They draft them. They're good players and building them. But he felt like at times they needed two scoring lines and should have split them up. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I don't disagree with them. And I think that I don't think they have to play with each other. There's no reason that those three have to play with each other. Like, they can move those guys around a little bit. It's not the end of the world. I liked it when they had Pouliot with those two, and I thought he played well there. So, yeah, I agree. And we've talked about it on the show enough. I think David Perron was misused in his time here, in particular this most previous year, this season. Now he goes to a spot where it's so obvious where he's going to play. And he's a really good fit there. I talked to him today as well, and he's a real good fit. He's loving life there. And he's playing on a team that's got a chance here. So, you know, they're not playing fantastic right now as a group, but he's sure playing well. Like, how Perron playing with Crosby and Arcabello playing with Malkin? It's kind of funny the way, you know, you see Arcabello get put on waivers and you think, boy, I wonder what'll happen here to this guy. And now here these guys are with the Pittsburgh Penguins playing with two of the best players in the world.
Yeah, hey, always, I don't care who you are. You play with Crosby and Malkin, you're going to look better. It's just because those two are that dominant. Sugar, should be an interesting game tonight. Quickly, Pakarinen, what's your expectations of him tonight on the top line?
Well, you know, it's kind of one of the benefits Todd Nelson has, right? He knows these players really, really well. I mean, it's not, he doesn't have to rely on a scouting report from another head coach. He knows this guy inside out. And part of the reason why Pouliot worked well on that line is because he'd go do things that the other guys weren't great at doing, which is forechecking and digging the puck out. And by all accounts, that's exactly what this guy does. He forechecks hard, hits hard, digs the puck out, and has a little bit of scoring touch. So I like the fact that he's doing it. I'm fine with him not giving Yakupov the switch. I think Yakupov wanted to stay with Derek Roy, to be honest with you.
Agreed.
His best hockey is an Oiler. Well, maybe not as an Oiler, but certainly this year, the last 2 years. So I think it's a good move, and we'll see. I mean, we'll see how he skates with those guys. But I think it's an interesting move and a great opportunity, but Nelson knows this player as well as anybody. So why not if he thinks he can have a – he's going to be on the power play too. He's given the kid some power play time as well, I asked him, and he said, yep, use them on the power play down there, and he will here as well.
Oh, yeah, he's likely that – well, especially on the first unit, take Pouliot's spot in front of the net. Makes perfect sense.
Exactly. Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see. I mean, they did a nice job coming back against the Sharks and showing a little bit of fortitude. And tonight is another really good opponent that's getting healthy. And we'll see if they can give the – I don't expect they'll beat Pittsburgh tonight. But we'll see if they can give the Penguins a game. And we'll see what Ryan Nugent-Hopkins has to offer. Because if you remember when Backstrom and Ovechkin were in town earlier this year, Nugent-Hopkins had one of his best games ever, as far as I'm concerned. And we'll see what he does with Sid in his building tonight.
Well, it's not only Crosby. If he doesn't get him, he's getting Malkin. That's a pretty tough test.
Well, how about the D-men? I mean, how do you feel if you're Keith Ollie looking up and seeing one of these two guys coming at you?
Yeah. Let's hope they don't see that very often tonight. Shogger, have yourself a great one. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, buddy. Take care.
It's Rashog Report brought to you by The Golf Den. Go to golfden.ca.